developer workshop, which I went to last week, they put out this 6-page document that basically said this is what the CDBG grant application would be for this application cycle, which is what I believe you got sent. It did not have an actual application on it. I went to the CDB website and found what they called a sample of agreement between the applicant and sub-applicant, which is a 1-page agreement. It basically says that you as the applicant are assigning all of the grant responsibilities to the sub-applicant, which would be Dignity Now or the development that we're putting together, except for the financial management piece of the application. My understanding through talking with Brandon Jensen, who's the head of CDBG Disaster Funds, is that the county, it has to be, the CDBG grant has to be submitted by a unit of general local government. That has to be the applicant. And then the sub-applicant would be the not-for-profit or the housing development that is requesting the funds. So that is the process. I found out very late Friday after questioning that there's got to be more than this 1-page grant agreement that we're looking at, that there is actually a grant application. It is still not outposted per se. What I sent this weekend and I had sent previously was the 2022 grant application that was in the Missouri Housing Development application process documents. Brandon had basically told me use that document. The only thing that would need to be updated would be where it talks about the county's financials. They would want the most current financials versus 2020 financials. My understanding between this applicant sub-applicant agreement is that you all would pass all of those responsibilities on to us except for the financial management piece. And when I say financial management piece, that is correct in that you would have to set up a bank account, request the funds through the Department of Economic Development, CDBG. When those funds are approved, you would then get them and pass them on to the title company that would do the dispersing for the construction of the project. As the sub-applicant and developer, co-developer, we would be responsible for all of the grant application documents except for that financial management piece that we were just talking about. And that would be in the agreement between you and us. You call it this applicant sub-applicant agreement. We can detail out every specific duty if you want. We can refer to any of the CDBG documents or guidelines. Chapters for what those responsibilities are. And yes, ultimately the county would be responsible, but at the same time that you're responsible, you pass that responsibility around to us so that if something went wrong and the state came after the county for those funds, the county would turn around and come after us for those funds.
Us being who?
Developmental Connections, the project, St. Street Apartments, all of our investors who are going to have over $12 million in this deal, which is a lot greater than the $2 million that we're asking for from the state, that you guys would just basically, just a pass-through through for. I could kind of compare it to a contractor-subcontractor, where you would be the contractor and you have all kinds of subcontracts with subcontractors for something. If the subcontractor doesn't do anything, you go after the subcontractor.
And typically in those situations, the general contractor is the one that ends up paying for everything and never gets anything back out of the subcontractor. So in that analogy, that's typically how it works. So there goes back to our concern of now. We have to answer to 55,000 residents. We want to make sure that we're doing our due diligence and the monies that we're going to be responsible for are put out before we can be, you know, we can answer those questions to all the citizens. The other thing is July 12th, how long does it take to get a $2.1 million loan from a bank? It's a whole lot longer than going from July 12th to now.
I understand.
And so, and regardless of whose fault it is, whether it be the state, HUD, whatever it is, it still puts it back on us. And that's, I don't know that that's something that we, I think that gives us caution. Let's put that way.
It does. It puts us on a 4.5 day timeline between today and the date of the 14th.
And it sounds like they don't even have a new application out yet, but yet they want you to use an old application with new information. That's not on you. That's on them.
I will agree with that. Yes, that is true.
On the equal opportunity and fair housing, who's responsible for those? You said.
So you would pass those duties on to the sub-applicant.
I don't know how you would be able to provide those because that's something the county has to do under Section 12, correct? Or Chapter 12?
I believe it's under Chapter 20 of the
There's a list in Chapter 12 that are the documents that say all the things that we have to do. We have to do one per year, and they can't be the same that we've done a prior year.
This is another major difference between your $100,000 in 2015 and the $2 million plus question. Is in the $100,000, you just went under the general checking list. With the $2 million, when it's over $200,000, you go under Chapter 12, and that puts the county on much more requirements. Meaning more requirements on it all. Are you familiar with Chapter 12?
I'm more familiar with Chapter 20 of the Multifamily Recovery Act of the CDBG program.
Yeah, I think with this amount, it falls under a different category.
It does. There's a $200,000 cap on the other.
Which then, yeah, puts us into a whole different. And so there's a lot more requirements on the county other than, like, you can't do it all. Now we have to hire staff to do that, possibly.
There's many requirements in regard to the LGBYN, DWQ, whatever, the housing of it, the inspections of it, the documentation, your subcontractors, the labor, the filling out. You need to be familiar with Chapter 12.
Okay.
Because we have to report that, and it says when we're audited, that we have to have those on our file, so they have to be submitted to our employee. They have to be here when they're on.
Okay. Are you familiar with Chapter 20?
Our benefits person that handled this in 2015.
Not benefits.
I'm sorry.
Grants coordinator.
Our coordinator, employee that handled it in 2015, along with the attorney, in 2015 knew all the documentation that had to be under the other one. So it was very, and went on the website to find out, and it tells on the website all the requirements, and that's where Chapter 12 is, that it would come under the two, if we receive over, if you're over 200,000. That's where all the information that she got was from the website.
Okay. To answer your question, I'm not familiar with Chapter 20.
Okay,
but
Chapter 20.
I'm sure staff is.
Is the disaster recovery program specifically for multifamily, which ties the CDBG funds to Missouri Housing Development Commission in the application process. And it does specifically say that all of those grant requirements can be passed down to the subrecipient, except for, as I stated, that one section of financial management piece. So all of the fair housing, all of the prevailing wage, all of the Davis-Bacon, all of those construction inspections, draw processes, all of that can be passed down to us, which is what they're looking for, to be passed down to the sub-applicant developer in the housing piece of it, because they know that the county cannot do all of that. You know, as far as making the county comfortable, if you feel like you're on the hook for the $2.1 million, I'm sure that we could post a guarantee to the county as a site, a document that would guarantee that if the county had to recover, had to pay those funds back, that they could, you know, draw on our guarantees. We have to post guarantees for banks and investors for the full construction process anyways. And I'm sure that Dignity Now and Developmental Connections would be more than happy to, as I told you, they have $100 million in revenues, that they would be more than willing to post that guarantee if needed.
Just $1 million in revenues.
Oh, I'm sorry, $1 million.
I was going to say, I don't know why we need that.
$1 million.
They have $100 million in revenues.
Maybe you ought to be coming to us.
I was going to say, hey, you guys got any grants or any loans you can...
I'm sorry.
That's all right.
And a lot of, I do know the developmental connection staff that we have is handling inspections and other things over St. Streets already, as well as the HUD properties we have. Those are regular occurrences with us.
I don't think it's the inspections. I think it's the added requirements to make sure that we are things outside of the general demographic of our area that we would have to do because of it being different funds, if that makes sense.
Okay, so... So if we, trying to cut to the chase for all of you guys, if we, she's thrown out a $2.1 million deal from the investors that handled the deal, if that released the county from that, and we also clarified immediately for you what the duties would fall to as far as whether it be her services that she would provide on those or developmental connections to where the county wouldn't have as many of those duties as we can get away from, would that be of any interest to you?
I think it'd be of interest to me anyways. I don't know about the others. I think the problem we run into is now timeline. And then there's some of these, I don't know, I'm trying to read through my notes. On the Equal Opportunity and Fair Housing, for every 12-month period of the grant beginning with the award date, the grantee, which would be the county, now I understand there may be a way for us to turn around and give that, pass that on, has to take one action each year to affirmatively further fair housing. Well, I don't know that you guys, I don't know that any other entity outside of the county can do that. I think it's because then you go back to Chapter 12 and it gives you a list of all those things. Well, and I don't think you can use any prior, any that we've done prior wouldn't count. So we'd have to find something on that list that we could do to continue this on. And then also, I think there's some, on the Section 3 of the Housing and Urban Development Act of 1968, I think there's some compliance issues there as well. So I don't, to answer your question, yes, can we overcome that hurdle by when we have to actually sign the application? I don't know. And so I think we're going to have some time restraints.
Okay.
But I'm not saying we wouldn't. I'm not saying I wouldn't try.
Okay.
No guarantee, though.
Sheila, you had something to say.
I'd want our attorney to go back and look at what we've been told that we would have to abide by in Chapter 12 and where you're saying that you would abide by where it says that when the auditor comes to check and when we have our grants person that handles all the grants and that's the first place they go to check everything is. And I'm happy to say that they've been thoroughly satisfied with all their cares and we're working with ARPA now. And all the documentation has to be there. We have several file cabinets full of it. When this says that it has to be here, and when, so I'd want our attorney to look at this and say, can we pass these duties on to you? And it, this doesn't mean anything that we have to have it and do it every time you ask for the money and you present the bills and ask for the money. Even down to the point of the subcontractors of checking to see that they're hired according to the ethics group and that they're furnished, if they're not English speaking, that they're furnished someone, a certain percentage that will can speak the language for them, even in the all those requirements. So I'd have to have our attorney to look and see if we can just pass those on to you and you give us a piece of paper and say this is done. And we don't have, because we're supposed to, I think it even asked, for their hours of work, and so forth. And you went.